Hello and welcome back. This is Victoria Duda bringing you the Multidimensional People podcast, episode 5, The Power of Feng Shui. You might recall that as we went on our journey into the non-physical dimensions and met with people who have directly experienced the non-physical, we have come across some interesting hidden correspondences. So I'm talking about phenomena that are beyond our obvious and directly observable cause and effect. If someone is studying metaphysics, it becomes obvious after a little while that it deals a lot with things that are connected, even though we might not understand with our conscious mind how that connection is possible. So I'm thinking of things like astrology, where you find a connection between star constellations and someone's character, or numerology, where you find correspondences between numbers encoded in your name and your personal destiny. And these things are usually regarded as quite vague, and it's quite easy to dismiss these things as superstition. But we have two things coming up in the 20th century that I believe make these things much more credible than they used to be. One is physics. Modern physics talks about quantum entanglement. So we have phenomena, in fact, that are non-local, but still connections that are valid and scientifically proven. At the same time, this is the other indication that I'm thinking of, the famous psychiatrist Jung talks about synchronicities. And synchronicities are something that if you work as a therapist or as a psychologist, they come up all the time. They become a little bit like a cliche almost. Namely, that you start to observe that if something is happening in a person's psyche, then very often you find a correspondence in everyday life that symbolically matches what is going on in the inner world. So the example that Jung himself gave was he treated a patient who had a dream about an Egyptian scarabaeus. And that was a significant symbol in that patient's development. And when she was talking about this dream in Jung's office, Jung just saw that there was an insect flying into his dark room the very same moment. And when he looked at the insect, he found out that it was of the same family, of the scarabaeus family, a member of the scarabaeus family that also lives in Europe. So that's when he started to pay attention to these subtleties, to non-obvious connections that tell us something. In a way, it is a cause and effect, but we might not see it obviously. And today we have a very interesting topic where we will study a correspondence like that. And namely, the correspondence between your environment and your life. And this is the ancient Chinese art of Feng Shui that studies the parallels between how the environment of a person looks like and how the environment is structured and how the psyche and how the life of that person is structured and unfolds. So interestingly, Feng Shui is drawing a map that they call the Bagua, which is the map of someone's house or someone's office, someone's environment that they are in. And then different parts of the Bagua corresponds to different parts of the psyche and different areas of life. So that's what I would like to talk and explore today. And I invited Feng Shui consultant and interior designer, Kim Sass. Welcome, Kim.
Welcome, Victoria. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, thank you so much for coming, because I have so many questions about this fascinating topic. And from what we have spoken so far, I'm sure you will tell us a lot of interesting examples of how this really works. So if I may ask you to begin with, how did you get involved in this? How did you find out? You were working as an interior designer, you told me.
Yes.
And how did you find out that that design that you're making or that environment that people are in actually has something to do with their personal development or with their lives?
Well, I think like you stated, I have started off from a long career of interior design. And I got basically guided towards feng shui because I would have clients call me. I would have medical professionals call me and say, I understand you do interior design. And I was wondering also do feng shui. And the word feng shui just kept coming up. And after being in hundreds and hundreds of homes over the years, you do notice by just positioning that the room feels better. It looks better. It's not just the aesthetics, but it's also the layout and the interior of how you're doing that. And so I felt like there was an opportunity there for me to sort of expand my knowledge. And I started reading about it. And I got very excited because it connected some dots for me. And it,
yes,
and it really did. It provided me with a tool to go a little deeper than just how things look on the surface. And by applying these ancient knowledge information, it allowed me to delve into the unseen areas of an energetic life flow within us and our living and working environments. Let me give you a good example. Have you ever felt, I mean, I know you're a scholar and you're a writer. Have you ever felt like you were energetically stuck?
Yes. No, when you're saying that, yes, I can get some experiences that I would call energetically being stuck.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I think most people have from one time or another, but not really quite understanding what that really means.
And yes, I think it's generally the word energy. It's just that you bring that up, quite abstract for a lot of people when they analyze all the layers of their lives and everything seems to be okay, but something is still missing. And that might be on the energetic level.
Exactly. So
how does that manifest in the environment?
So, all right, let's talk about clutter. It's a perfect, I mean, I think that from time to time, anybody can say that they've, even though they might not know anything about feng shui, but they've gone in and they've actually cleaned out drawers and closets and kind of reorganized. And all of a sudden you feel like you're, you know, flowing through your house in a much easier way. And in a sense, that's kind of what this energy pattern is doing. It's unblocking, it's uncluttering. It's, if you have a home that, that has a lot of clutter, a good example would be it could make you feel compressed. It could make you feel unorganized. It does have an effect on you. It can make you feel sluggish and can make you not feel vibrant and energetic. By just cleaning out a space, I think we can all honestly say that you feel so much better.
You do. That I actually have a personal experience with. It's the only feng shui book that I ever read was from Karen Kingston, who wrote this book about decluttering with feng shui. I remember I read it on an airplane back from Germany where I visited a friend, and she introduced me to that book. And I came back home, and I was like a whirlwind in the house. The book is so inspiring.
You know,
you just start to throw away tons and tons of stuff that you thought you needed, but actually just held you back, as you say. Once it's gone, it just feels like lifted. You are just, you open the old castle and fresh air is coming in and fresh air is coming into your mind. It's fantastic.
So as a professional, I do go into people's homes, and even if they're selling their homes, I've had realtors bring me in and say, we need you to help, you know, declutter this home and help the client get the best price for their home by organizing it. I mean, in a sense, even though they're not asking for a feng shui consultation, we're actually doing something that is shifting them, that's allowing them to let go of stuff that they're holding on to, that they're not even planning to take with them when they leave. And it's really not helping them. It's just, if anything, it's bogging them down. And so,
why do you think people still hold on to it? Because most of us know that clutter isn't good for you, but people just sometimes find it really hard to let go. Why do you think that
is? Sometimes, for example, I don't know if this has ever been your experience, but let's say your great aunt passed away and she willed you a certain thing, or a table or a desk or some piece of furniture that either you inherited or the person you live with inherited, but it doesn't quite go into the scheme of your life. It doesn't fit in the space, but you have this sort of obligation that you can't get rid of that because it was given to you and it wants to be, it should stay in the family, so to speak. I have a lot of people that will hold on to things for that reason. And what
or unwanted presents. You don't want to offend the person.
And maybe you just want an excuse to pass it on to another relative, or just understand that, what is that piece of furniture doing? I think even you'll talk about girlfriends or hear stories from girlfriends who've collected like past relationship items that they just can't, for whatever reason, let go of. And you find that they're also not able to let go of the past relationship. And sometimes by just breaking that tie and letting that go, it's allowing new things to come into your life. I mean, it's pretty basic, but I think that we all have a tendency to maybe hold on to certain things that may not serve us anymore.
And when you hold on to the thing, you're holding on to the thought. And probably what's happening, that letting go of the thought is even harder. So if you can somehow make yourself throw the object away, then that sets a change into motion that will help you to change your thoughts as well. So this is a correspondence, isn't it, that I was talking about at the beginning, that something that symbolizes, for example, a relationship, it's easier to let go of the symbol than it is to get rid of all your thoughts. Once the symbol is gone, then your thoughts will follow.
I think you're right. And there is, I use the word energetic clearing, because it also, it's not just a visual thing. It makes you feel better. It lets go of something inside of you emotionally. And I think that that's something to consider. I think that, just if it's okay, I'd like to just say a little bit about the type of feng shui that I have practiced in, because I think, you know, there are different schools, and the one that I chose to follow up with is called BTB feng shui, and it basically stands for Black Sect Tantric Buddhism, and it goes back 16,000 years. It existed from the Bon religion. And the reason why I felt kind of called towards this type of feng shui is that it also offered a component. It addressed spiritual and the compassionate side of life. So I feel like a school that recognizes the importance of both the mundane part of our lives and what I'm going to call the transcendental really added a new component to what feng shui could actually be when you go into someone's home and you work with them and you kind of get an idea of their space and their environment, and they're questioning, hey, how can I improve my life? What is feng shui going to do for me? This is a great way to kind of think about why you would pick one type of school or understanding of over another. And I'm going to give you a good example. For example, I had a class that I was offering just basic feng shui, and a realtor couple came and took my class. And months later, after class had finished, I got a phone call, and one of the realtors had said, my husband and I have had this listing, and it's been on the market for over 2 years. The homeowners have adjusted the price as low as they're willing to go, and they've already started building a new home, their dream home, and we really need to get this sold. And they're open to the idea of having a feng shui consultation to see if there's something else going on with the house and why it hasn't sold. And I thought, okay, no pressure here, right? The house has been on the market for 2 years. Okay, let's give it a try. And what I found, I went into the home and I had a conversation with them. And this is what I like about BTB feng shui, is it addresses the personal side of things as well. It's not just, I'm going to lay this Bhagwan mop down on the floor plan of your home and read the energy pattern of it. I also want to know a little bit about who you are in your space. And what I discovered was, as much as they wanted to sell the home, the husband was, you know, going full Borg on the brand new green home that they were building, and she was talking up how excited she was about it. But in conversation, what she was really saying is how sad she was going to be to leave the home she had basically brought not one but four babies home from and raised in this house.
She
was holding on to it energetically. She had no idea because, again, like in her mind, she was excited for the new place, but was held back. So an example of the mundane, for example, would be sprucing up your house, organizing it, decluttering it, hiring a competent realtor. Those are all things that we should be doing to just move things along on our day-to-day process. But to go one step further, there are what we call transcendental cures that you can do with feng shui that will enhance what might be holding you back. And in this case, I told her I felt that she was emotionally attached to the house and that she needed to write a beautiful letter to her home. and thank her home for all the years that it has provided safety and warmth and comfort and allowed her to raise her children. And by her going through that process, she was doing an emotional let go. And it was really kind of a beautiful little thing to do. At the end of the day, I got a call, I don't know, 2-3 weeks later, and they had an offer on the house. Now, the realtor was lovely. Mm. She said, look, my husband would like to believe that 2 years of everything we did is why the house sold. And you know, I think that personally that the feng shui actually got me. And I loved that she said that because she was new to the concept of feng shui. She opened up her client's mind to this idea and we had a good result.
Yes. I think it requires quite an open mind, doesn't it? Because I was just thinking that when we talk about things like decluttering, that is easy to explain psychologically. I think for scientists to realize that if you are in a beautiful environment that is balanced, then you will feel better than when you're sitting on a pile of garbage. But I think that there is a layer to feng shui that is much more subtle than that. So I'm thinking of the Bagua, which is a map that has different parts, and different parts correspond to different areas of your life. So if I understand it correctly, when you identify the area of your life that you want to change, then you look for that area in your home, and then you place the appropriate symbols there, or you make the appropriate changes, you declutter things that are no longer belonging there, and then you watch what's happening, and in many cases, there are changes happening in your everyday life that don't seem to be related to what you've just done in your home, but they are.
I love what you just said because that absolutely tells a really strong story about what you can do with feng shui. And let me, I'll give you another example if that's okay, because I think sometimes that's the best way to kind of express how this can work for you. So you talked about the Bagua. So when I'm going to do, let's say you want a consultation, you want to have a feng shui consultation. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I'll ask you to do is give me a basic drawing, nothing, no big blue floor plan, just a basic drawing of the layout of your floor plan in your home. And then I want you to write down 3 things you would like to enhance in your life. Now the Bagua map will get laid down, as you said, at the front door of your house as you would position it, because in feng shui, the front door represents the mouth of qi. So that's all the energy going into your space. And you lay the Bagua down, it has 9 segments called guas, and they all relate to various parts of your life, whether it's your wealth, your relationship, your health, your career. And so before I ever walk into somebody's house, I've already seen their floor plan and things show up. For example, where your bathrooms are positioned. Bathrooms in your wealth gua, I'm going to give you a basic example, are fine, except for that sometimes they need to be reinforced because what you may have a tendency for is for money to go down the drain and out. So you want to energetically keep the money in your home, not let it flow out. So I go to this client who had basically asked for a consultation. I saw their floor plan and I asked for their intentions. And after seeing the floor plan, I go to their house and I noticed that nothing was mentioned about wanting to enhance perhaps their money or their finances. Mm-hmm. And so I walked in and I said, okay, so I have a question. Do you want me to tell you exactly what I see or do you want me to kind of gloss over it? And they said, no, please don't sugarcoat. Tell me, Kim, what do you see? And I said, well, I noticed that in your intentions, you didn't say anything about finances, but when I'm looking at the floor plan, although the house is lovely and it's got a feeling of warmth and care, it's showing me that money is going out as fast as it's coming in. And they were looking at each other and the wife says to the husband, I told you. He has sort of this sheepish look on his face. And I said, okay, what's going on? And they said, well, we thought about the 3 things we'd like to enhance in our lives. And we agreed that money was one of them, but we didn't want to appear materialistic, so we didn't list it. So, okay, I think that this is a good lesson. It was a good lesson for me coming into their home. And it was, you know, kind of a validation that I'm seeing something, but it's not matching up to what they're saying. So it's really important to have a clear intention about what you actually want. and be honest about it, because that's how this is going to work the best for you in your life. So I asked them to sit down and reassess it and put it down in the order of importance. They had money at the very top. And then after we went through, we, you know, did the layout of the Bagua map, we worked on putting specific cures into the house to enhance whatever was incorrect. And then I asked them to please keep the journal. And over a period of time, if they saw something come up that would apply towards what we talked about and what we did, I'd love them to make a little note about it. And months later, I got a call and the husband said to me, "I just want to thank you. This was such a great experience." And, you know, even though he was a very successful person in the work that he had done over the years, he got a really big promotion and it changed everything for him. And part of it, I honestly believe, is that he himself was willing and ready for a change. That's really what this is all about. At the end of the day, when you're ready to have somebody come in and work with you with feng shui and open up the idea to what this energetic shift can happen, you're also just as important as the consultation that's being done to you, because you're ready for that shift. And now you're looking for what you can do to make that happen.
Yes, I can very much relate to that, because it's the same in therapy. That when a person is ready, then change can happen very quickly. But they have to be ready. We all have to be ready.
And then that's the process of even doing a floor plan. If somebody reaches out to you and says, "I want to do this," and then what's involved and how do I get started, and 3 months go by and they haven't handed you a floor plan, they're not ready. But then the person that has it, they're ready for you the next day, and they're ready, and it's all part of the process. There's no pressure in regards to that.
I found it also very interesting, the story you told me, that you trusted your intuition. So what I'm hearing from people that I talk to in this show is that we have to go through a self-development ourselves, to begin to trust things that are socially not accepted, like trusting the energy, like trusting symbols, like trusting intuition. So when you walked into that house and you said there were the three questions that the couple wrote down, but you saw and you had that intuition and the symbols of the house told you that there was actually something else going on. So I think it was a big part of the success that you took the courage to actually go with something that is more intuitive then it is logical.
And I find, okay, so I like this subject again, because back to the whole idea about when you're ready for something, you know, you can put it out there and you can maybe start the process of this. I feel really strongly that I don't solicit feng shui. It always just comes to me. It comes from word of mouth. It comes from somebody saying, "I had a really wonderful experience," or "I took this class and this is what I learned from her." And I never feel like I have to defend it or explain it in a way that somebody might doubtful. I really feel strongly that it appears, the person that needs it appears, and I put it out there and I do it. And it just makes me feel like that's one more enhancement to my life. Because I'm making a difference, not just in somebody else's life, but it also makes a difference in how I feel and navigate through life. I'm not just putting in pretty rugs and paintings on a wall. I mean, we're doing a little bit more than that. And I like digging a little deeper and getting more into how we as people are a reaction of the environment that we've set up.
I'm loving that. I think this is such a beautiful message. Because I experience that a lot of people want to embrace these things more deeply. And then maybe there is a fear of, how is that going to work out? Are people not going to laugh about me? Are they still going to take me seriously? And what I experience is exactly what you're just saying, that it actually works out just fine.
It really does.
It does.
I don't feel like there's anything I have to prove, because my experiences with what I've known so far with feng shui and any conversations or any person that we've ever, you know, been involved with, it's all been so positive. And at the end of the day, I remember a client called me in a panic and said, "I am so freaked out. I went online, I was reading a little bit about feng shui, and after all the stuff I've read, I'm afraid I'm going to have to bulldoze my whole house." And I laughed and I'm like, okay, I know she's exaggerating, but at the end of the day, that's not at all what you have to do. And really what we want to do is we want to keep it simple because it's an opportunity to clarify and simplify your life. And in doing so, it's going to help you point out what you might need to do to correct it. And there are cures to do that. There are solutions to do that. And so you don't have to worry that you've got a house that doesn't have good energy. That's the whole idea behind feng shui, is that it allows you to make those changes.
Fabulous. This is very inspiring. So thank you so much for sharing all this with us. I would just like you, before we go, to ask you, if our listeners are now inspired to do something about their house or their environment, what would be your first advice? What can they do immediately?
Okay, so I think that what anybody on this planet can do for all of us is to address and look at your clutter. Maybe you have no clutter. That's a great statement. If you have no clutter, then that part is not the issue. But I think that we start there. Most of us do. And let's see how you feel when you just start clearing out some spaces. Start one room at a time. Don't get overwhelmed. Don't do them all at once. Just even if it's a kitchen drawer. I used to tell people that we're having, I call them cluttered challenge. I would say, instead of feeling overwhelmed by doing your entire house, why don't you just make a commitment to every day you're going to clear out one thing, whether it's a drawer, a closet, or an entire room. Just, obligate yourself to doing one thing and see how that feels. It's a great opportunity. And the other thing is, if you want to have a little shift in your life, think about what you want to enhance in your life and be really clear about it. And one of the examples is, let's say you want to have abundance. I think you need to be more specific than that, because what do you want? An abundance of bills? An abundance of drama? No, you want to be very specific about what that abundance is. And if you do go and have a feng shui consultation, just pay really close attention to those often subtle opportunities that I think feng shui, and I'm going to call it from the universe, will offer you, because I think it's an extraordinary experience.
It is, and we all have to learn to pay attention to subtleties. This is going back to where we started, that all these synchronistic messages, they will only unfold if we are willing to pay attention to small things, like a scarabaeus insect flying into the room.
That's a great example. Room. I love that.
It is the subtle things where we have greater communication with. That's what psychology works with. That's what you work with. That's what everyone works with who is involved in personal development. That is not as obvious as our outside environment, but we have to go a bit deeper and we have to pay attention. It's paying attention. It's being aware of what's happening around us. And then the big secret word, what you also said, is formulating your intent. Make that very clearly what you want. So thank you so very much for coming. It's been a pleasure talking to you, Kim.
Hey, thank you so much. I really appreciate having this discussion with you about feng shui. And I hope that anyone who's listening might get excited about its potential for positive changes in their life.
Definitely. And they will find you. I will put all your details on the website. So thank you so much for all of you listening. And please tune back in 1 month in another full moon. Thank you.